Time for our weekend food section. Joining us today, our friend Dan Levy, who fights with John Landecker about food here at night and then argues with everybody about everything on the Barguments podcast. Dan, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, Bob. I guess I should work on all of those. That sounds pretty bad. But yes, I argue a lot, and I feel better at the end of the day. I'll tell you that much.
And we asked Dan to look into an interesting list that was in Cranes. This is the wedding season, so a lot of folks are searching for private spaces to party. And, Dan, these are places that have opened in the past year or so, right?
Yes, these are. But there's one that made the list. It's been there for a lot longer than anybody remembers. But the Chicago Cut Steakhouse is number one, and it's been there for a long time. But that, I still think, is the number one place to go for any kind of view in just a nice dining room. Just because you walk in that place and you feel like you're going to see someone famous. It's right over the lake, or the river, I should say. And it is still one of the best places you can go for a steak, and has probably one of the best decors. I met Charles Barkley there once. So every time I've ever gone to the steakhouse, I've always been like, who am I meeting tonight? That is probably one of my favorite places.
Yeah, a lot of sightings. And Chicago has quite a few venues for parties, and what are some of the other places you like as far
there
as
there is
booking,
one off hospitality. It's one of the new multi-million-dollar commissary, and it's a really cool open kitchen kind of a place, and it's right there on 1753 West Grand Avenue. It can seat up to about 200 guests for a reception or any kind of private event. That is actually one of the really cool places that's opened the last couple of years. It's a little bit pricey, but again, if you're going to be downtown in Chicago and you want to make that really cool impression and have a really cool spot to be at, that's a really good one. Also, Salon 61, 61 West Hubbard, anything on Hubbard is a really nice place. It's got two large rooms. The library is the more intimate space with wood paneled walls and cherry wood ceilings, and that's also a very cool place to do something private. Or if you just want to have a cool Christmas party, if people still do those anymore, holiday parties, that's a really cool place to do something.
And the one on Grand, that's one-off hospitality?
Yes.
And any of these places, I mean, looking at the list, you got to check your bank account here on many of them. Are they all really pricey?
If you're going to do an event in downtown Chicago, you're going to spend a little bit of money. So these are the kind of places that if you're going to be like, you know what, this is my daughter's wedding, or this is something I really want to do, probably not the best to be like, hey, you know what, let me see if there's a Groupon for this one. But if you're going to be in the downtown Chicago area and you're going to spend the money, here are the places that you really should kind of do some stuff. But again, Salon 61 is a let us entertain you place. So if you know those guys pretty well, and they're the people that kind of do the RPM steakhouses and the carving stations and sushi hand roll bars and all that stuff, I'm sure there are different packages and different tiers that you can kind of set up if you want to do some things. But again, if you're going to do the downtown spaces, these are the places that you want to kind of go for if you want to have a really cool night out.
Yeah, a lot of people these days, instead of having a huge, very expensive wedding, decide to have a smaller party, and they're not going to spend as much as they do on a big wedding.
No, in fact, a lot of places, you know, you're always looking for the better deal, the better places to go. So, I mean, some of these places that are downtown, again, there's the Zarella Pizzeria and Tavern, which is on 531 North Wells. That one's actually not bad. That's a minimum range of maybe $3,000 to $6,000 if you want to kind of do that stuff. And it's got the Italian, you know, the kind of family style stuff and tavern style pizzas, chicken parm and salads. So that might actually be the better if you want to save a little bit of money if you're doing a private event.
Yeah, if you want to check out the big list, it's on Crane's website. And if you don't want to go in that direction, you could always have your get-together at Walmart now, can't you, Dan?
Yes, you can. It's amazing that Walmart is starting to implement actual seated locations. Some of them have a pizza place that they're starting to do. Some of them have what's called a ghost kitchen. Ghost Kitchen America is starting to open in some Walmarts. And in fact, the one by me, I'm in Orland, they have a Charlie's Philly cheesesteak place where they have stuff too. So, I mean, I've been a victim of sitting in Walmart with a grocery cart next to me and slamming a couple of Philly cheesesteaks. So it feels a little weird at first, but I'm good with it. Not bad.
I can see the invitation that people get now. Join us at Walmart. Walmart for our wedding party.
Come celebrate. Right. Come celebrate it. You can even come a half an hour early and give me the present. It's not a bad way to roll.
Exactly. Talking food with Dan Levy, who fights with John Landecker about food here on the radio. He's the host of the Barguments podcast, and he is our Portillo's bureau chief. So you're the man to tell us about the new rewards program that they just started. What's the deal on this, Dan?
They just started this, and I found this out of my bureau, that they actually have a rewards number, just as if you were going to any kind of a grocery store, if you're going to jewelry, any of those kind of places where you put your phone number in, and you actually can get perks and you can get free food. And actually, I didn't even know I signed up for it, Bob. I actually went to do the whole breakfast thing for you guys a week ago, and next thing I know, they said, what's your phone number? I gave it to them. The guy goes, oh, you got a free cake shake. And I was like, that's excellent. It's actually a pretty cool thing, but it kind of worries me a little bit, because whenever you hear like any restaurant starting to dip into this kind of stuff and then they're doing a breakfast, you're like, I hope they're okay. I hope they're doing okay in terms of, like, you know, business-wise, because we love Portillo's, and whenever you hear business start to do breakfast stuff, and all of a sudden they're just going to keep my phone number and give me cake shakes, I'm not going to complain. I just get a little worried, that's all.
Or too much expansion too fast, too many cooks in the kitchen. But this is a different kind of loyalty program, right? It's not the traditional one, is it?
No, because usually it's an app. Usually they have an app as well, but they have one of those kinds of things where, again, it's just, you don't need the app to do this. It's just kind of a loyalty program. So you can just sign up for portillos.com/perks. And again, all you got to do is every time you go to Portillo's, they'll ask you for a phone number and they'll let you know exactly what it is. They have different achievement badges. They got first bite and also top dog if you're a frequent flyer mileage like you and I, Bob. And there's different ways to do different things like that. So it is pretty cool. And it's one of those things where I've been a victim of going to a place and looking for the app, and I got to like stop a drive through and go, hold on, I'm waiting for the rewards. I got to figure out what my deal is. And you get people hogging at you. This one, you just give the phone number and they can tell you what you qualified for. So that's pretty cool.
Now on to the question of, do you tip at places like Portillo's? And the Wall Street Journal had a very interesting story about how Americans are tipping less, and a lot of people venting over tip requests for some basic transactions and service charges. What do you know about this, Dan?
Well, I will say personally, I do tip well, because oftentimes I go to a restaurant and I'm that guy that's like, what do you recommend? And I try to be nice to them and I try to ask what's kind of there. So whenever they kind of give me some ideas, or a couple times they've told me to avoid certain things. So I try to tip pretty well. The one occasional case I've ever had to not really tip very well is, again, whenever there's really bad service. One restaurant we went to with one of my kids' friends' families, and we went almost at the end of the night, and they were rushing us out of there. They got our entire meal wrong. And then in the end, the guy goes, all right, time for you guys to leave. And I was like, all right, you're probably not going to get tipped pretty well. But a lot of these days right now, you're feeling the tip, because a lot of the things have extra prices on it, extra costs. And if you're doing cash, if you're doing credit, and even if you go to like a simple place to get like a coffee somewhere, they turn around the iPad and they always tell, you know, it's one of those recommended, should they tip you? And it's always highlighted on like the most expensive one, which is like on the 50% tipping instead of like the customer 10% or whatever that is. So
yeah, people feel intimidated by that machine. And sometimes it's for a service that I guess before the pandemic, you never thought of tipping. And then also you have some surcharges on your check now, don't you?
Yeah, a lot of times you'll have surcharges and it'll say if you're paying for cash, it's like 3% less and things of nature. I don't know about you, but I haven't carried cash in forever. And I'm always impressed whenever I see somebody go, I got cash. So that's one thing. And again, whenever they turn around and they send you that prompt and they just, you know, they try to look away to see if you're going to touch tip, but they're really looking at you and they're smiling. And you're always like, uh-oh, they're going to tell that I'm going to say no to this, because all I really wanted was 1 50-cent Danish. And I don't want to spend $1.50 to tip this guy. And to be honest, a lot of people are getting a little bit upset with these kinds of things. There's a lot of different kinds of surcharges, and there's even some that some have still COVID charges that are on there, cost of living charges. And sometimes people will, now they itemize every bill, and you'll see that there are some little charges here and there that'll make you go, wait, what is this? And that's really causing for an uncomfortable thing. So to be honest, something I'm very well against is cooking at home, but that seems to be a way that people are trying to avoid even going out these days, just because you're just, you know, you go out for what used to be a very cheap meal, and now it costs you like almost $80 for a bowl of pasta somewhere. So you I get
16,
it.
16%. Oh, by the way, I just saw a survey too. More people, fewer people going out for meals for sure. But an estimated 16% of restaurant operators add fees or surcharges now to customer checks. That's according to a survey of about 2,400 owners by the National Restaurant Association. So you have that to contend with, don't you?
And also, restaurant prices as a whole are up more than 30% from pandemic levels. So when we're feeling all those hits. And anytime anyone says the economy, when you go out for dinner, again, it's just me, my wife, and my kid eats off the kids' menu, which is generally really cheap. And now, again, it's almost like an $80, $100 meal just to go to your local burger place or your local Italian place that used to cost me, $50 with a chocolate milk. So anytime yeah. you got to figure out different ways to kind of maneuver around these prices, I get it.
Yeah, we ask sometimes when you see those extra charges, we ask the waiter or the waitress, does this go to you? How much of it goes to you? And then also talking about Portillo's, people always curious about takeout when you're not dining in, you're just getting it to go order. Do you tip? And the answer is yes, because somebody back there is getting your order together, aren't they?
Yes, they are. In fact, anytime I've gotten anything to go, I do tip. But that's it's a question I have had for a long time, that if you go to a place and you buy the takeout and there's always a tip, how much tip am I giving?
Well, maybe not 20% if you're...
20% I think is something that if they're coming to my table and they're waiting on me and they're servicing me and we're having that rapport, 20 to 25% I get. But if I'm just calling in the order and I'm kind of hoping inside the bag is my order and it's not, you're just kind of like, I'm not going to give 20% for that. So I'm always kind of, usually $5 on top of that is what I try to do.
Well, you have a reputation to uphold working with John Landecker and the food fight.
Well, they know I'm going to fight something, so they're looking for an argument.
Dan Levy is also on the Barguments podcast. Happy weekend eating. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, Bob. Same to you.